We're either a murder expose or a rom-com by Hearts Logos, rated teen and up. One of Tim's favorite parts of university is that he can choose his classes to an extent. As a result, he's taken an online English class, and it's actually very amusing. The most amusing part is where he has to post on the class's forum. There's only one other regular active participant who posts beyond the minimum, and that is who Tim finds really, really interesting. English isn't exactly Tim's forte. There's a reason why he's a philosophy major, but he likes it well enough. Apparently Jason Todd likes it more than enough. They argue a lot over various assignments, but Tim enjoys a challenge, considering that most of the other posters just answer the prompt question and use the minimum amount of words to get away with it. It's refreshing when someone posts with obvious passion. It gets to the point where they're straying off topic, and Tim kind of wants to send Jason a message to the forum's messaging system, but he doesn't want to seem too forward. But he's really like to bring in some other supporting examples for his argument that would definitely get him in some trouble with the professor running the online class. They're supposed to be discussing the themes of poverty and class struggle. Tim kind of wants to bring in moral ethics. The decision is, thankfully, taken out of Tim's hands when he logs on and finds a message waiting in his inbox. To tjdrake84@gotham.edu from jtodd69@gotham.edu. Hey, look, I don't know if this is weird or not, but I really wanted to reply to your last post, but I also don't want the professor to be pissed because I grandstand. So, is it alright if I email you a list of all the reasons why your analysis of that paragraph was totally wrong within context? Though your character analysis of the format is brilliant, to be honest. Tim tries not to smile at his computer like a lunatic, and fails. Horribly and miserably. 2. jtodd69@gotham.edu from tjdrake84@gotham.edu. I was just thinking about sending you a message myself. Go ahead. I'd also like to suggest you read Hardin's Lifeboat Ethics, because that's what I'm going to use to refute your entire argument. Thanks. I really enjoyed reading your post about the symbolism of fruit. You can call me Tim, by the way. If Tim goes to his next class with a little bounce in his step, well, it's not like anyone would notice. At some point or the other, all philosophy majors kind of look high. It's usually during finals week, but hey, according to some theories, time is irrelevant and everything is useless and futile because everything is a contrived system made of oppression and degradation. Free your mind! Remove yourself from the system! Yeah! During a break in the lecture, when Tim checks his email on his phone, he has to physically restrain himself from wiggling a little because... To Tim Drake, from Jason Todd. Hey, Tim, I'm Jason, but you probably already knew that. I look forward to smacking down your argument with counterexamples from A Moral Dilemma. It is so on. Somewhere along the way, in-depth discussions about the use of the color blue as ironic concerning drapes or not turns into a discussion of Kirk and Spock's epic bromance. All in all, Tim thinks that this Jason Todd guy is pretty fantastic. There is something that can be said about someone who doesn't laugh when you start pulling out pop culture references and analyze in context to the point of blue curtain syndrome. Really. And then, somewhere along that way, discussions about epic bromances in pop culture turns into, hey, you try that dim sum takeout place? Is it any good? Is it cheap? Because I think I'm going to die of scurvy if I don't get some cheap vegetables and fish in my mouth over the next 24 hours. Even after the semester ends, and they both pass the online class with flying colors, comments from the professor including, nice tie-in to the modern adaption, but was the gay subtext part of your essay really necessary to understanding industrial accidents and rising alcoholism? Jason ranted about Tim for 3 whole emails about that comment. Of course it's fucking necessary, Jesus! Why the hell would I write about it if it wasn't necessary? Does this guy really think that I like spending 3 hours analyzing euphemisms for butt sex? The emails continue, in fact. 2. Tim Drake. From Jason Todd. Hey, I'm going home for the holidays, and I don't really check my school email and shit. Text me? Tim saves Jason's number in his phone, and by the sheer number of texts, it becomes one of his favorites within the week. Jamie and Bart keep giving him the eye and asking him if there's something he needs to tell them, to which Tim replies that they should either mind their own business or pass the pad thai. Just to be safe, Tim edits Jason's contact info on his phone to say, the pizza man. No one ever looks for the pizza number on Tim's phone. Score one for being the ultra health nut in the apartment. Either way, Tim doesn't go home during the holidays because there's not really a home to go back to. Jamie stays out of pity, and Bart is just uncomfortable going home. Tim's roommates are the best roommates ever. So, Jamie says, shoving some barbecue pork into Tim's mouth, because Tim is lazy and his arms feel like they're going to fall off from moving furniture. There's a reason why they only do full house cleaning once a year, and that reason is the sheer number of books the three of them have combined that are literally everywhere in the apartment. Tim is pretty sure half of these books are overdue, stolen, from some library, Bart's fault entirely. "Who's your gentleman caller?" Bart says, flopping down on Tim, head on Tim's stomach as he flips through the television shows. "I don't have a gentleman caller," Tim replies, more out of reflex than anything else. Then he promptly chokes on air. "Oh my God, why would you ask me that? What is wrong with you?" "You keep texting someone who isn't us. Who would you text who isn't us?" Bart says, poking Tim's cheek with the remote. "I mean, yeah, you have friends aside from us, but they're all people we know. And you don't look that brand of crazy when you text people we know. Besides, you sigh dreamily, Tim. Dreamily isn't an adverb you're supposed to use outside of fanfiction and really, really cheesy romance novels. But you sigh dreamily," Jamie adds on, shoving a fork in Tim's mouth before he can defend himself properly. "Tim, you aren't a Disney princess. We went through this. No matter how hard you try, you will never be able to find a deserted cottage in the woods to live out the rest of your life in solitude. There'd be no Wi-Fi, and you'd go crazy within the day." "I regret ever getting drunk and telling you this," Tim says, as soon as he swallowed a mouthful of fried rice. "I regret all of my life choices leading up to this very moment." "Yes, we know that. But that doesn't answer our question of who your gentleman caller is. Why do you think it's a guy?" "Do you mean to say that it isn't a guy?" "I mean to say that you shouldn't jump to the conclusion that it's a man. But yes, he's a man, and he's none of your business." Bart and Jamie exchange concerned looks. "Tim, the pizza man is your number one contact. Do we need to have a talk?" "I mean, it's not that we're questioning you, it's just, is that safe? Tim, are you being safe? Is the pizza man safe? Is he clean? Are you both careful? How is this even Tim's life?" "Oh my God, the pizza man isn't a pizza man. What is this even?" Tim covers his face with his hands. "Why are you guys even looking through my phone?" "Because, Tim, we're concerned. That's what friends do when they're concerned about their friend hiring a male prostitute to satisfy his sexual needs in secret. They look through said friend's contact list." "Oh my God. Besides, you leave your phone everywhere, and sometimes we hear it say that you have a message, and when we look, it says the pizza man, and that's kind of ominous. I repeat, oh my God, he isn't a pizza man. We've established that already. He's a stripper, isn't he? Or a prostitute? Oh my God, I can't repeat this enough. Oh my God. You realize that you don't need to pay for sex, Tim. You don't have to. You can totally find someone who loves you for you and not your money." "He isn't a prostitute." Tim flails around a bit and succeeds in smacking Jamie in the face. "He's this guy I met in my English class last semester." "You didn't have an English class. I had an online English class." "Stranger danger! You met someone online? Oh my God, Tim. I thought we didn't need to give you the stranger danger talk." Jamie gapes and then flings his hand in Bart's direction. "You made Bart a PowerPoint presentation on this shit. I can't believe you." "Would you guys?" Tim kicks at Bart until he gets off. "No, I hate you all. I'm not seeing anyone, and the pizza man isn't a prostitute. He's just someone with really great insights into things and is really good for quality conversations."
"I'm good for quality conversations," Bart whines.
"Yes, but that depends on the topic, and unfortunately I have very little interest in most topics you tend to babble over." Tim pats Bart's head. "Also, it's not like we even talk that much." As if to betray him, Tim's phone chimes with a new text. Jamie and Bart exchange a look before promptly tackling Tim and stealing his phone.
"Oh my God, bad touch! Bad touch!" Tim yelps as they go through his pants pockets before drawing it out. Did he just text you to fanboy over The Great Gatsby?
Yes, Jason probably did. Tim is in the middle of signing up for classes when he gets a text. Want to take online theater? And, well, Tim hasn't exactly filled that GE requirement yet. He's kind of been ignoring it like the plague because reasons. Tim isn't exactly that artistically inclined.
Sure.
Jason texts him the course number and the info. Later, while they're all comparing their courses, Bart and Jamie keep giving him looks, like it's something significant that at the bottom of his course schedule, online theater is listed.
Do you even know what this guy looks like? Did you Google him? Did you check his Facebook? What about his Tumblr account?
It's like you guys think I didn't think about all that sooner. The thing is that Tim checked out his student profile and didn't really see anything. No picture, just a student email and course listings. Also, Tim isn't so crazy as to actually Google him. That's a whole new level of stalkerish and creepy that Tim doesn't think he's ready to enter.
What does he sound like?
I don't know.
What does he look like?
Like a person? Guys, I really don't know. Shouldn't you be a little more curious? What if he's, like, 40, or what if he's really, really old and gross and perving on you?
Jamie, I really don't think that's the case. I'm pretty sure a pedo would be a lot more invasive and pressing than asking if I know if the food served at the corner deli is worth a trip in the rain.
He knows where you live? He knows where you eat?
Bart, everyone eats at the corner deli. It's the only place around here that sells meat that isn't of questionable source.
Dude, not cool. What if he's stalking you?
He doesn't know what I look like.
Oh my god, we're all going to die and it'll be on TV in one of those 60-minute specials. Tim, you've turned us into a 60-minute special.
Tim sighs and throws a fortune cookie at Bart's face. The other teen catches it with his mouth, because it's Bart.
So, Tim feels something like fight or flight instinct awaken when Cassie edges into the seat next to him.
What's this about the pizza man?
She wiggles her eyebrows, and Tim is 100% done with his friends.
Oh my god, Cassie, I swear I am going to do something drastic if you guys don't shut up.
I'm concerned for your virtue.
And that's her, I'm going to give you so much shit over this face. Tim knows because it's usually directed at him, and it's almost always directed at him.
I hope you choke on your next Asian salad, Tim mumbles as he flicks through his notes. Besides, we don't even talk much, and it's usually about really impersonal stuff.
Mike?
Like the price of the dumplings at the really shady-looking dim sum place by the bus stop in relation to the price of the dumplings on campus.
He knows where you eat? 60 minutes, Tim. We're going to get us all on 60 minutes, and I'll have my face all shadowed and blurred out, and it'll be really, really pathetic and sad.
Cassie whines, flopping over him and flinging her leg over his. Some of the other students in the lecture hall are giving them odd looks. Tim puts his head down and waits for someone to put him out of his misery. Halfway through the lecture, Jason texts him about an equal rights protest going on in the quad. Cassie gives him a look, like she knows. For their online theater class, they're required to watch the school plays and performances. Tim considers asking Jamie and Bart to go, but Bart has a lot of trouble watching things without talking or fidgeting, and Jamie has his hands full with his internship at the Student Health Center. Tim would ask Cassie, but Cassie would take the opportunity to ruthlessly tease him about his sensitive side and make comments about how hot the performers are. She'd probably scandalize half the people within hearing range. So Tim faces the music about going alone like a pathetic loner. It's never fun going to plays and stuff by yourself. Except, Tim gets a text from Jason a week before their first check-in assignment for their theater class is due and asks, "Want to go see the play with me?" Tim considers saying no, while Tim is still having internal debates. If he says yes, he'll meet Jason and his friends would probably talk his ear off about it forever. If he says no, he'll be alone forever in a dark theater and Jason would probably be offended, maybe. Jason sends him another message while his thumb hovers over his phone's keyboard.
Shit, I probably sound like such a creeper, sorry.
Tim smiles a little, and he's so glad that Jamie is passed out right now because if he was awake, he'd probably be ragging on Tim right now. I was going to say yes. Oh, awesome. Can you see the one at 8 this Friday? I'll meet you in front of the theater. I'll buy the tickets. Awesome. Awesome. Tim doesn't exactly know the etiquette for when one meets their online classmate for the first time. What you doing? Bart says, skidding outside of Tim's room on his way to the kitchen. Dude, are you actually looking at what you're wearing? Dude, you own a full-length mirror? Dude! Before Tim can answer, Bart yells in the direction of Jamie's room. Jamie, bro code emergency! Tim's got a date! They both wince at the sound of something falling down before the door flies open and Jamie is skidding into the doorframe. Tim? Tim stares, mildly afraid and mostly confused. I have to see a play for my theater class, and, the theater class with the pizza man? Because, regardless of the fact that Tim has told them Jason's name, they still call him the pizza man. Capital P and M implied. Yes? And you're not going to play, you're not going to this play alone, are you? No. You're going with the pizza man, aren't you? Bart wiggles his eyebrows, and Jamie tries and fails to look casual when he leans against Tim's doorframe. Yes, because there's no point in lying at this point. Is there a protocol for this kind of thing? Bart and Jamie exchange a look before pulling out their cells. I'm calling Cassie. I'm calling Connor. Connor, who's actually in school across the country because his dad is stupid and elitist. Oh my god, guys, oh my god. Tim moves to grab a t-shirt and be done with it, but Bart smacks his hand and gives him this look of utter disapproval, like Tim's a really bad puppy. It takes 2 hours and sets Tim back about 10 minutes, but eventually everyone, and Tim means everyone, at one point someone Skyped Ma Kent and got her involved, and that's how much Tim means everyone, manages to agree on something that makes Tim look good without looking pretentious and like he's trying too hard. Connor bitch faces at him, dude, how could you not tell me about this recent development? I thought we were besties, man, besties for life. Tim spends 10 minutes consoling Connor that they are still besties and that they will always be besties, and yes, he still has their friendship bracelet. Stephanie and Rose laugh. Gar starts eating popcorn halfway through Connor's speech about the bro code. Tim thinks he looks like a hipster. He doesn't even know where half these clothes came from, but through the power of 3 laptops, 3 cell phones, and 2 tablets, and several ingenious applications of browsers and some of Bart's extra computer monitors, everyone manages to use Tim like a communal dress-up doll. He will never get over having to strip in front of so many people. And Rose and Steph were totally not helping. Aw yeah, Tim, work it! Tim makes it to the theater with barely 5 minutes to spare and, well, it's not like it could be anyone else waiting for him, can it? Tim stares, slightly slack-jawed at this, wow, what do I have to do to see this guy shirtless, specimen of humanity standing in front of the theater frowning at his cell. He sees, holy god, he's handsome, send a text, and a second later, Tim feels his phone vibrate in his pocket. Tim ignores the phone, picking his jaw up off the ground and approaches him. Jason? The man looks up and, oh, Tim thinks as he stares at Jay. He's hot. He's really, really hot. Jason blinks, tilts his head, and asks, in the end-all be-all of sex voices, Tim? Hi. Tim is going to have to sit in a dark room with this man next to him for the next 2 to 4 hours. Christ. Jason smiles and, God, this is so unfair. Shall we? For the life of him, Tim can't tell you what the hell the play was about, except at one point there was music. So, what did you think? Jason asks, and Tim is like, holy god, this is his life. This is actually his life. It wasn't bad? Tim feels like his heart is going to claw its way out of his chest and present itself on a silver platter to this man, because Jason is really, really smart and funny and witty. Tim got that through their texts and emails and stuff, but he's also really attractive, and that is just, people weren't meant to be that perfect.
What about you?
Did you enjoy it?
Jason coughs, lets out a nervous laugh.
Wasn't really paying attention, actually.
Not your cup of tea? Tim tilts his head, stuffs his hands into his pockets. I'm not really into theater myself, but it's okay, I guess. Tim purses his lips.
This isn't the part where you tell me that you're actually a theater major and take extreme insult to what I just said, is it?
Leave it to Tim to actually insult Jason the first time they meet face to face.
No, I'm not a theater major. Jason quirks a brow. Do I look like a theater major to you?
Jason looks like he stepped off a photo shoot advertising leather and sex, to be blunt.
Not that Tim is going to see that.
I don't know. Do I look like a philosophy major?
Jason curves his mouth up. You look tinier than I thought you would be for someone so sassy.
Oh. Oh. Well then.
My body is nothing but sarcasm and wit compacted into 152 pounds for your convenience.
So? Connor Skypes him, and it's like 1 a.m.
What the hell, Connor? Time difference?
Is he hot? Are you going to bone him?
Couldn't you be a little more decent? Tim asks, 5 seconds away from just face-planting on the desk and sleeping there.
I don't think you violated enough public decency laws.
All decency gets called off at any time past 11 and after the first 7 shots of straight-up vodka.
Connor doesn't even look drunk, that ass.
Tim glances at his closed door and hopes that Bart and Jamie aren't listening in.
So, Connor repeats, is he hot?
Tim sighs, tilts his screen a little, adjusts some paperclips on his desk. Anything to avoid answering.
Connor just raises an eyebrow.
Dude, I can totally wait you out.
He's hot. Tim cracks like a fucking egg. He's so hot, Connor. Oh my god, how is this even physical? How has the universe not imploded? Connor, oh my god, no one should have such a great personality and brain and still look like God's gift to man. It's not fair.
Is he hotter than I am?
Because Connor is a good friend and is totally okay with the fact that Tim found him physically appealing and has used him as a frame of reference since they were kids. There is nothing wrong with admitting that your best friend is really, really hot. Just not Tim's kind of hot.
Yes, Connor, he's like 50 times hotter than you and smarter and just, ugh, please.
Details, man, details. Tell me about your awesome little crush. Tell me everything I've missed because I'm seriously pissed that you left me out of your epic romance.
I'm pretty sure that we have to be together for it to be a romance. As it is, I'm 100% sure that he isn't even seeing me as a potential anything other than casual acquaintance.
Dude, he texts you about every just casual acquaintance. Anyway, tell me everything.
Jason texts him for coffee. Tim texts Jason for lunch. And suddenly, Jason isn't the creepy online stranger his friends are worried about turning them into a 60-minute special.
Now, no. It's Jason, why aren't you two dating yet? And you are turning us into a rom-com or really cliched fanfic, Tim. What is your problem? Why can't you do anything like a normal person? Just ask him out in a non-platonic manner.
To which Tim can only say, I'm not nearly as masochistic as you all seem to think I am.
Except he is, because he'd be really, really dumb not to be attracted to Jason.
Jason and his brain and his mouth and his sass and his perfect everything.
Okay, Tim declares when he sits down across from Jason at their usual place in the campus coffee shop. It serves some really shitty food, but they somehow manage to make coffee that's tolerable. Their main selling point is that it's cheap.
I can't take the pressure anymore. I find you really attractive, and my friends won't stop bothering me about it because for some reason they think I should tell you, and I understand that they have good intentions, but, okay, I find your personality and a strong affinity to mine and your face really ridiculously attractive.
Jason blinks at him, mouth hanging open a little.
And I'm just, okay, bye.
Tim doesn't stick around to hear whatever it is Jason has to say. He gets the hell out of there, and when Cassie gives him this weird look when he throws himself into the seat next to her, she has the decency to just give him half her salad.
You're stupid, she says while he's poking at some sad-looking carrots, but if someone hurts your feelings, I'd totally break their neck for you.
Tim leans against her, rests his on her shoulder. You're the best.
Jason texts him 23 times, and Tim ignores them all. Jason calls 3 times, emails him 16 times, and messages him on the forums 7 times. Jamie squints his eyes and asks him what happened 2 times. Bart makes sad eyes at him all night, and Connor even Skypes him to make concerned bitch faces at him. So I told Jason I liked him. And? I ran. You ran. Yes, Connor, I ran. Tim is not particularly proud of that, except he knows that if he stayed, he'd have to listen to Jason's answer, and probably he'd implode of mortification. I ran, and I'm currently considering drowning my sorrows in Diet Zesty because I can't hold my liquor like you can. I'm not saying it was a bad move, Connor begins, but that was a pretty shitty move. You don't know that he was going to shoot you down. You're a great catch. You calling me a fish? Tim wrinkles his nose. You're a dick. You sort of have that mouth-gaping thing going, you know. Connor gestures to Tim's face. And you know you love me, you little dumb fuck. What the hell would you do without me? Get a whole bunch of cats, that's what you'd do. Anyways, you should have probably stuck around to hear what he had to say. Probably. You gonna call him or something? I'm going to go cry in a corner and sulk about my life choices. No, Tim's not. Tim's going to repress. Repress like he's never repressed before. It'll be excellent. You're stupid, Connor says, resting his chin on his fist. But you're my stupid dumb fuck, so that's fine. You're going to be old and single and alone forever. Not true, Tim sighs. We have a pact. When we turn 50, we'll get married and be besties and unwanted together. Connor snorts, rolls his eyes. Yeah, dude, but we all know that I'm going to find someone because I'm not a crazy freak like you are. Tim continues to ignore Jason because of reasons. That is, until Tim walks out of lecture and he finds this redhead lingering in the hallway. Hey. Tim looks at the redhead, who's looking right at him, then turns and looks around, because what the hell? Why is attractive redhead looking in Tim's direction? You. Yeah, you. Runt with the blue eyes and the Shakespeare t-shirt. Do I know you? No. Attractive redhead narrows his eyes at him. But I know you. You're the asshole who's making Jason sulk. Oh God. Do you understand how annoying Jason is when he sulks? Do you understand? The redhead looks increasingly frazzled. He's been sulking in iambic pentameter. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's impressive. Because it really, really is. And totally something Jason would do. Look, redhead says, Tim should probably ask for his name. Could you just hear him out or something? I will pay you anything to get him to stop acting like a modern-day Heathcliff, which involves a lot of Taylor Swift. Tim snorts, Taylor Swift? Taylor Swift. Tim checks the messages Jason left on his phone. The one that really gets him, the one that makes him listen to Roy and decide to call Jason back. You're the Spock to my Kirk. Roy's an asshole and I will rip his arms off and beat him with them, Jason says the second he answers his phone. Did he hurt you? Did he intimidate you? He's a dick, okay? I'm sorry. He didn't do anything except tell me that you were listening to Taylor Swift like it was going out of style. He's a lying liar who lies. He also told me I should hear you out. There's a pause on the other end of the line. You should totally listen to him. He hears Jason take a deep breath. I like you. I like you a lot, which is ridiculous, because we met online, and this is a total cliche in the works. But I think I kind of started liking you after you sent me that email with the link to The Shape of Things, which was, wow, I kind of wanted to kiss you because it was so obviously an allegory of so many things and was rich with symbolism and stuff. Tim remembers sending that email. He remembers seeing that place, the play's script, and thinking that Jason would enjoy it, then emailing it to him. They had just exchanged numbers. It's probably really, really pathetic, but my friends kind of were dicks about it. Like, they kind of laughed at me and called me modern-day Gatsby. Don't ask, because I'll get distracted. But then we started texting a lot and stuff, and they started calling me Catherine. It's really dumb. Seriously, don't ask. And then we met for that play, and Okay, going to be real honest here. I wasn't paying attention because I was pretty much floored by you. You're ridiculously attractive to the point of it being unfair. Oh my god. Tim mashes the button on the elevator. Oh my actual god. Just, Jesus, you have these glasses and these really amazing eyes and you're smart and you argued with me over Spock and Kurt and ugh. Excuse the fuck out of you, people who look like you don't have any right to have a working functional knowledge of Tolkien. No, Tim thinks as he jiggles his foot and waits for the elevator to move. God, how are elevators this slow? He should have taken the stairs. People like you are the ones who shouldn't know how to write in circular Gallifreyan. So, all in all, I think you're really great, and I was really fucking surprised when you said you liked me, so, okay. Okay. Tim jogs down the hallway and knocks. Hold on, I gotta answer the...
Tim?
Tim hangs up, sliding his phone into his pocket. So, hi. I've been kind of been asked about this whole thing, but it's mostly because I was really scared of what you'd say in response. Jason just kind of stares at him, cell phone still pressed to his ear. Tim blinks up at him. Please say something before I dissolve into a mess of nerves and regrets. Are you wearing Shakespeare? So, Tim declares as he stumbles out of his room for breakfast. My life is a romantic comedy. Where are my millions of dollars worth of box office revenue? Jamie snorts. Your life is not a rom-com. It's a really bad fan fiction written by a 14-year-old. You get no money. It's a lifetime of shame. And I bet Jason would get most of the money. He'd be the reason why people watch your movie. He's in your room, isn't he? Bart says in the middle of gulping down some juice. He's sleeping, yeah. Because they were up until, like, 3 playing Portal and watching YouTube videos of Supernatural convention panels. And you two didn't have sex?
Nope.
You two are hopeless.
Yep.
And that's it. Hope you enjoyed. Sorry for any obvious errors. I read this a little fast. And, hope if anyone wants, I'll probably end up reading the companion piece as well. See you around.